You guys going to go see Disclosure Day this weekend? Are you excited about it at all?
I'm excited about it in the fact that it's supposed to be a spiritual sequel to Close Encounters.
Yeah.
So I said on the show the other day, the radio show, that at the end of the movie, the UFO shows up and they kick old Richard Dreyfuss out and go, here, you can have it back.
That'd be hilarious.
This means something. This is important.
You know, the show is... Well, hi, everybody. This show is... one of the sponsors is The Punchline. And not for this show, but for the new radio show that I'm doing on Sunday evenings on WSB Radio. A comedian is coming to The Punchline at the end of July, first weekend of August, by the name of Heather Shaw. Are you guys familiar with Heather, right? We talked about her last week.
Did you tell her Lizzie said hi?
I did tell her Lizzie said hi, but I have no proof of it outside of the audio, because whenever I use Zoom, I always forget to record it.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Watch her special on YouTube if you're interested in good stand-up comedy. She is so sharp, great with crowd work, and her jokes are just amazing. I was just kind of blown away by how good she is. I've been a fan of hers on social media for a while. She's the comedian, if you're not familiar, that looks like, exactly like Jim Carrey before he had face work. Oh, yeah, Lizzie's not here this week. She's at her sister's house. So, everybody, let's do it. 3, 2, 1. Hi, Lizzie.
Hi, Lizzie.
Guys, are you reading the online comments?
Gotta read some of these comments.
I'm loving your guys' comments.
You're reading your own comments?
Yeah, they're really good. I worked hard on them.
The secret is, don't read the comment card.
Comments. I want to start with comments this week to let everybody know that we love your comments on this show. BitPOC 1979 said, Zack Snyder needs to stop. J.J. Abrams needs to stop. Now, that refers to remakes and reboots, because we were talking about, what was the movie that's... Oh, yeah, Escape from New York.
Yeah.
Certain movies can be remade. I don't think a movie like that needs to be remade. It's a movie of its time. You know, everything, they'll infuse it with modern politics and stuff that don't belong there, because it was set in the future when it was made, and da-da-da-da. Belated Reflection said, I agree that The Burrows is funny and the acting is good. I liked it so much that I would recommend it to everyone. Your impression of Gina Davis sounds more like the way Bill Pullman talks. That was spot on. Far less clearly than when he was younger. I don't know what's going on with him, but Gina has been suffering from hearing loss for over 20 years, which I did not know. That affects a way a person speaks. Viewers complained about her stiff manner of speaking 21 years ago when Commander in Chief premiered.
That's what I was going to say. She's been talking like that for quite a while. Probably haven't seen her in anything.
She's a great actress. Wasn't trying to, you know, offend anybody. I was just trying to do an impression of her. But now that I know, I'll stop doing it. Rip Fetick said, terrible idea. You know he'll want to do a black and white version. That is a bad idea. Don't do that.
No. We don't need Snake Plissken in black and white.
No. Brett Perkins. Hi, Brett. Widow's Bay. Not Windows Bay. Bay windows are good, though. But Widow's Bay was very good. And yeah, and I haven't watched
it. This week's episode is freaking hilarious.
Don't spoil it.
I won't. Just like the first 5 minutes is fucking... There's like 10 jokes that just cracked me up.
Now, was there
one? I mean, not jokes, but just funny stuff that happens.
Yeah. Is there one left now?
Yeah, there's only one left after today's.
Wonder if there'll be another season. It's such a good show. Seriously Issues says, the only reason I enjoy remakes is because I want my kids to enjoy what I did as a kid. I tried to watch Escape with my son, and he kept pointing out the crappy visuals. Oh, that's true. It's true.
Yeah.
But if you're gonna, they might as well just use AI, go to the old ones, and just update all the vehicles and effects. Hey, Terry Kennedy said, we like The Burrows. Looking forward to another season. Sounds like a cool gig, Tim, talking about the sketch comedy show. Tom and I would love to come see the show. Well, I will let you know where it's going to be. I got my stepmom watching The Burrows. She hadn't heard about it. And I said, you got to watch the show. And we were talking. I don't know how far she is. She's not done yet. And I said, did you notice Mary McDonald? And that was sort of a spoiler. And because she hadn't gotten that far yet. And I said, Ed Begley was great, but he wasn't credited. And she didn't recognize him. She didn't know that was Ed. And I said, well, Dee Wallace played his wife, and she didn't know that either, because she hasn't seen these actors in a long time. I'm not sure if she watched Better Call Saul. That's the last thing I remember Ed Begley Jr. being in.
Yeah. Like,
a lot. And he was so good in that. What a great actor he is.
And Dee Wallace still looks like herself right in the face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She did. But I can't say enough how much I love the Burrows. Shows don't usually do that to me. You know, like I watched All the Boys. I thought it was okay. But you know, it was just like, okay, this is season 5, yada, yada, yada. Homelander's dead. Spoiler alert. But the Burrows was freaking amazing. And now I got to finish Spider-Noir. Somebody said online, I watched a video where you watch the first three in black and white, the next couple in color, and then the rest in black and white. I don't know. There's some formula.
I watched them all in black and white. I haven't finished it yet, though, but I got like 2 episodes to go.
I got 3.
I gotta get on it. How many are there? 10? 8?
I think it's 8.
8? All right, I can do that. And I also am going to start watching Dutton Ranch, so Jeff will get off my back and text me every hour.
When the fuck are you going to watch? Shit.
No, I'm not finished with A Parade of Horribles, but it is great. They just got to the 11th floor, so...
You're almost over. You got a lot of stuff to learn, though.
What do you mean, a lot of stuff to learn?
They cram a lot of exposition.
Yeah.
Into that last bit. Yeah, prepping is you for what's coming up, I guess.
When is the next book going to come out? We're not going to wait 2 years. It's like every year with him, right?
Well, it is, but he's writing. The next one's going to be in 2 parts.
Okay,
so it'll be book 9, but it'll be part 1 and part 2, and he's writing the whole thing first.
Okay.
So he's in the middle of writing it now, but, you know, just because he gets done with the portion that's going to be 9 doesn't mean that we'll get until he's done with 10. So it may be a year or so.
Well, Jeff Hayes has outdone himself on this one.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are some voices that I was sure were not him.
No, but they're him, though.
Yeah, they're him.
Yeah. I like the trick they used of having to give Carl the biscuit to make his voice octave up, and so they had to octave Jeff's up so he could sing that song.
Yeah,
and that was their way around it.
What song did they say? Oh, Aha, Take on Me. Yeah. That was and then making Carl a Dotson, so we had to do a German accent.
That was
good stuff. Oh yeah, I've been watching Rush videos from their they've done 2 shows at Inglewood in LA, but you know, people were complaining initially or worried that Anika Niles wouldn't be good enough or live up to Neil Peart, but she's getting all the fills. She's hitting everything right. That first show looked awesome. There's no way in hell I'm going to be able to go see them here in Atlanta in November, though, because floor seats are $1,200, $1,300. Even way in the back, they are upwards to $400 to $500, which I think is ridiculous.
Yeah, that's a lot. I've watched the videos, too. The videos are awesome. I mean, she's hitting everything perfect.
Yeah, but
W.R. Brown was at that show, LA one.
Yeah, he was at the opening one. He posted these. I guess he got the set list or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, he said his mom wouldn't let him go because of all the dope smokers when he was a kid. He said when he got there's so much weed in the air. He couldn't. He was like, now I get it.
Was that his first time seeing Rush?
I think so, yeah.
Or he didn't see them on their other tours? I've seen them twice. One time I had the flu, but I stayed in anyway.
No, I've never seen them live. I always wanted to.
I got to meet Geddy and Alex both times because I was working at 96 Rock, so I got backstage. And of course, Neil never came out.
Yeah, he did. He was never a people person.
Well, no, listen to the song Limelight. That song is about, that's on Moving Pictures. And that song is, you know, that he's just, you know, all the world's indeed a stage. We are merely players, performers, and portrayers. And that one line that always sticks with me, I can't pretend a stranger is a long awaited friend. I get that. That would be nice.
Yeah.
And he wrote all the lyrics. So if they make a new album, who's going to write all the lyrics? That's the thing. But I would love to be able to go. I love Rush. And I think that what they're doing for their fans is great. It's not their fault that the tickets are so expensive, because Ticketmaster buys their own tickets, or their subsidiaries buy the tickets and then resell them. That's the thing that's bullshit. And maybe if we weren't dicking around in other countries, yeah, or whatever the hell our government does, they could do something about it. But, you know, Pearl Jam gave it their best. Got to give Eddie Vedder credit for that. Remember when we went after?
Yeah.
After Ticketmaster, yeah.
Ticketmaster.
I think I was working for Ticketmaster at the time.
Oh, you were?
Yeah. I went from Blockbuster Music and running. We sold tickets out of the Blockbuster Music through Ticketmaster, and then they were closing that one down because I'd already been moved from the Blockbuster Video that they had closed down to Music, and then they were closing it down, and the guy from Ticketmaster was like, hey, we could take you up at Ticketmaster. And so I worked up there for a few months. It was, yeah, right next to the Varsity. It was one of the little high rises right there next to Varsity.
Wow. That's cool.
It was weird.
Remember when you had to go to Publix to buy tickets?
Yeah, stand in line with people and trying to get groceries and shit.
Yep. All righty. By the way, I jinxed the Knicks. The Spurs are going to win the next three games and end up being the victorious NBA Finals team. Not that I care, but I would love to see the Knicks win. I've never seen them win.
I just want to see more people in Spurs jerseys get beat up.
That was not cool. That was not cool. What you don't? What a dumbass thing to do. Just beat the shit out of people because they beat your team.
Yeah, it's not like they were in Philly or anything.
Right. Expect that of people in Philadelphia, not Mom Donnie's New York, where everybody's nice. Radio Labyrinth is also brought to you by the Punchline Comedy Club in Sandy Springs, Georgia, tucked inside the legendary Landmark Diner. The Punchline is Atlanta's longest-running premier comedy nightclub. Get yourself a nice meal, have a couple of drinks, make sure you tip your wait staff, and satisfy any cravings you have while you are laughing. On June 12th through the 14th, Rosebud Baker. June 17th, Sincerely Divorced Podcast. June 18th, Dale Jones. June 19th through the 21st, Brent Morin. And on June 24th, Brian Moot. Patreon members, if you're interested in winning, just let me know on Patreon, and you could win a pair of passes to see a comedy show of your choice. Check it all out at punchline.com. All right, so how to ruin your golden ticket career in Hollywood with one post. Now, this is the art director of Obsession. Do you want to talk about that? What happened here?
Well, Obsession came out and, you know, small independent film made for, I think, less than $1 million. Picked up by a major distributor, was put out. Lo and behold, it became one of the biggest movies of the year so far. It's made millions of dollars. And the art director came out online and was complaining that she only made $7,000 and this movie has raked in all these millions.
Yeah.
I thought when I was reading her little post about the industry needs to change and there needs to be this needs to be addressed. And I'm like, wow, this lady is given a golden ticket. The $7,000 is nothing compared to the juice you get from being the art director on this movie. She could have her pick of, in the next 2 years, you know, any studio she probably wants to work for would be coming for her if she hadn't posted this whine. it blows my mind that someone would do that.
I get that you don't feel like you made enough money, but what if the movie had bombed? What if the movie hadn't had the juice behind it, the buzz that it has, because it's exponential. You know, it starts getting good reviews. People start liking it. People go back to the theater and see it. It's making tons and tons of money. But what if it hadn't, right? Then you got paid $7,000 to be on a dud.
Yeah.
So, Dustin, you're right. Just use it to your advantage. I was watching something to this point yesterday. What was it? It's like Anthony Daniels. You know, he had to wear that metal outfit and the horrible hard plastic stuff. Anthony Daniels was C-3PO in the first Star Wars movie. And he didn't know if he was going to do the second one because he didn't have points. He didn't have the points and stuff. You know, and of course, Empire Strikes Back was fraught with, you know, budget problems. And, you know, they had to reshoot a whole bunch of scenes with Carrie Fisher because she was drunk and doing drugs, which they had to intervene and get her to stop doing it. But he didn't. Anthony Daniels said he almost didn't sign up again. So he, you know, after that, he had a good payday. But, you know, he made a couple $1,000s or maybe $10,000 or something to be C-3PO's first one.
I just found out Grogu didn't get paid one red cent.
He doesn't need money. He could rob bank with the force.
They stiffed Grogu. Speaking of celebrities and being paid, Kevin Nealon, I saw a post where, did you see that? Yeah, he posted what he made for the first, few years on SNL. I think as a feature for the first 2 years, it was only like $2,000 or something.
It was $1,000 an episode when he would appear on there.
Yeah, but when he became a regular, it jumped up to like $6,000.
Yeah, at first, I think he was making like $11,000.
Yeah, like $11,000 by the end. And that's per episode. So, it's $44,000 a month. Ain't bad.
Who do you think was making the most money during his era? Phil Hartman?
In his era? Probably. I would hope.
Yeah. Jeff, when you worked at HBO, when you did an internship at HBO, what department were you in and what was your job?
Media relations. I was just an intern.
Just an intern. If you had stayed, what would you have wanted to do there? Show development or stay with media relations?
Yeah. Media relations was pretty fun.
Is that something that would have been a good payday? I'm getting to my question being, if you had gone into show running or pitching or something like that, that would have been a good payday, don't you think?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
I think the people in media relations made a lot. Maybe the head of media relations probably did, but I don't think a lot of other people on that 10th floor made a lot of money.
The best thing you did was tell Freddie when George Carlin was going to be at the airport so I could get my Class Clown album autographed. Which is actually my stepmother's album that I stole because she had the original.
Yeah, cheers now, like Shakes the Clown.
Yeah. No, I gave you that.
No, you stole my Shakes the Clown. I had to get my own and get Bob to sign it later.
Didn't I buy it for you? No. Come on.
Nope.
I didn't steal your. It was my Shakes.
Yes, you did.
Yes, it was.
No, it wasn't. It was mine. I told you to get it signed for me, and he signed it to you.
Oh. I forgot.
Yeah, I'll hate you forever for that.
I'm sorry about that. At least you got another one.
Yeah, I know.
All right, sorry to drag up the past, Jeff, and I apologize profusely for stealing Shakespeare. Scooby-Don't. We talked enough about reboots last week, and they've rebooted Scooby-Doo to death. Netflix they're going to use a real dog this time to play Scooby-Doo and not a big dog. It's a series, and it's set the gang's final summer at Camp Ruby Spears, where Shaggy and Daphne come across a lost Great Dane puppy who may be connected to a supernatural murder. My question about Scooby-Doo is, who is Scooby-Doo for? We barely like it, or we barely, we watched it because it was on, but I never found Scooby-Doo to be that interesting. When I was really young, okay, this is kind of cool. It's scary, whatever. The dog talks. But I don't have this nostalgic pull for Scooby-Doo. Do you guys?
No.
I mean, I do. I'm a little younger than you guys. And for me, it was very much a staple of Saturday morning cartoons.
Mm-hmm.
And it had a huge revival when my kids were born. They started making those direct-to-video movies. The cartoons, Matthew. And then they turned around and made the movie, the real movie.
Yeah,
Matthew Lillard was Shaggy. Who was
Freddie Prinze Jr.
was Fred,
a dick in a neckerchief. Yeah,
yeah, and then Daphne was
Buffy.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer? Yeah, what's her real name? I can't remember.
Sarah Michelle Gellar. Yeah,
and that actress from.
Linda Cardellini from DTF St. Louis.
And Freaks and Geeks.
She was Velma. But it's Gen X. It's one of those things that just to me, it's like, why don't you just do a Jetsons movie? Or no one would watch it. No one cares about that. That's such a boomer show. And of course us, because we consumed everything our parents consumed. Because that was what was on in syndication. But Scooby-Doo, I tried to watch Scooby-Doo with Gilbert, and he didn't give a shit about it. He goes, is it scary? And I said, it might be. And we watched a little bit of it, and he thought it was stupid. He didn't say that. He just said, this is boring. Okay. You're not wrong.
This is one of the few productions we've got going on right now.
In Atlanta?
Yeah.
They're shooting Superman.
I think it's Douglasville, isn't it?
They're shooting Superman downtown at the Fox Theater and stuff.
Yeah. All the outside stuff they were doing at night.
They did Atlantic Station, and I love that you can tell where they're shooting everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, they made the Fox Theater, the Metropolis Theater, right?
Yeah, they were asking, they had a quick call to fill the place up for background, like the night of.
Wow.
And they had a bunch of people come in. They also took over like a quarter of the Fulton County prison too.
Oh, damn.
And they were, all the prisoners were complaining about the noise and
that story.
Yeah.
I can't get drunk on prison wine and scream all night with the Superman movie here.
Hey, Superman, would you like some Merlot? I made it in the toilet.
You guys going to go see Disclosure Day this weekend? Are you excited about it at all?
I'm excited about it in the fact that it's supposed to be a spiritual sequel to Close Encounters.
Yeah.
So I said on the show the other day, the radio show, that at the end of the movie, the UFO shows up and they kick old Richard Dreyfuss out and go, here, you can have him back.
That'd be hilarious.
That's why he couldn't go to that Jaws reunion, because he was filming the very end of Disclosure Day.
You think he's in this?
No.
No, I don't know. They killed the original ending to Close Encounters with him in the ship. Although they always played it on the TV cut.
Yeah.
Which, so people were always like, oh, we can't find that ending anywhere. And it's like, yeah, Steven Spielberg didn't like that ending after he shot it and had it taken out.
So just for the TV version, so they can make it 3 hours.
Yeah, they had to figure some way to expand the time, and they used that at the end, which I always thought it was a really cool shot, but it threw perspective way off. Like, that place, the thing is not as big as it looks like once you get inside it.
Terry Garr is really the unsung star of that movie to me. She never believed him, just leaves him.
Well, that's the other thing. You like watching Reactors and this younger generation watching Close Encounters, they all can't stand Dreyfuss. They all can't stand the fact that he left his wife and kids easily. Like, yeah. No question.
Yeah, well, he did.
And I think Spielberg has even come out and said that he wished that wasn't the way that it had happened. He wished he'd have written something else in to make it a better break.
It is the way it happened, though, and that's okay. I remember being a kid, and UFOs scared me more than monsters, because I knew monsters weren't real. So I remember the first time it aired on TV, I started watching it in a little kid, and I couldn't finish it because I was scared. You know, I'd see the trailer, and I'd get scared. Did you see it in the theater, Jeff, or did your parents take
it? No, I think I saw it when it came on HBO or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw it on TV for the first time, but it was... I mean, it was my favorite movie for years and years when I was a kid. I just, something about it, you know, I just, it hooked me hard.
This means something. This is important.
Get my neighbor's garbage can and turn it into Devil's Tower. Well, there's two headlines. So the San Francisco Gate says, Disclosure Day, Steven Spielberg's flimsy alien drama is like a drab X-Files episode. And then the BBC, their culture editor, wrote, Disclosure Day is Spielberg's best film in over 20 years. So I'm going to trust that.
Yeah.
It's getting about 88% right now on Rotten Tomatoes. I think I'm going to go.
And it's over 100 reviews, too. So
yeah. I didn't know it was a spiritual sequel to Close Encounters. But, you know, it's Spielberg. How bad could it be? He hasn't really made a terrible film except for that awful Indiana Jones movie.
Yeah.
The kid from Holes. Jeff's cousin, Shia LaBeouf, his spiritual cousin. trailer trash. What's this Gail Daughtry and the celebrity sex pass?
This is David Wayne's new movie, his first one since The Stupid and Futile Gesture.
Which was awesome.
Yeah.
What's it about?
This girl's boyfriend, I guess the girl's engaged to be married, and her boyfriend cheats on her with his hall pass. You know how you give somebody a celebrity hall pass?
Right.
Then so, like, just so happens he happened to run into whoever his celebrity hall pass was and ended up having sex with her.
Okay. So
she goes, well, before you can get married, you got to have sex with your celebrity hall pass, who happens to be John Hamm.
Okay.
So I guess she hooks up with, what's his name, the dude from Mad Men? John Slattery.
That guy?
She meets up with him and they try and find John Hamm so she can have sex with him.
Uh-huh.
It looks pretty funny.
And they're actually playing themselves. Like,
yeah.
All right.
And John Hamm is in it playing himself.
I had a fraternity brother. I guess when you join a fraternity, you have a big brother, you know, like you're big and line and all that. And his girlfriend at the time dumped him and went on the road with Tom Wopat. Tom Wopat, if you're not familiar, was Luke Duke from the Dukes of Hazzard. He was a country singer as well. You know, they both did that, but Tom Wopat toured when he wasn't getting drunk and yelling at cops. It was homecoming weekend or some week. It was very busy. He was working at this bar where I was working in the kitchen, and I saw him there. And the first thing I think is my boss collects. If somebody's famous there, he wants the menu signed. So I said, Tom Wopat was sitting there by himself. And I said, hey, man, I was playing some of your songs at the country radio station where I worked. They were pretty cool. And they were in heavy rotation. No, thanks, man. And I said, do you think I could get you to sign one of the menus? He goes, I'll tell you what, I'll sign the menu. You cash me the fuck out. Like, all right. I went over, grabbed the bartender, and the bartender was like super busy. And he said, what? And I said, let me cash out Tom Wopat. He goes, who's that? Luke Duke, right there. Oh, yeah. Okay, go ahead. I cashed him out. But then that night, he ended up hooking up with that guy's girlfriend, and she went on the road. What's Whale Fall?
Well, it's funny. I was so amazed that I haven't heard that they were making this into a movie. It's a really good book I read like last year, waiting on Dungeon Crawler Carl. I picked this book out of Audible. It's a movie about a guy who, father and son, who are divers. It's not really much of a spoiler, but the father dies and his body is missing. And so the son goes to look for his dad's body. While doing that, he gets eaten by a sperm whale, swallows him, and he's in his belly, and he has about an hour of oxygen in his tank, and he's got to figure out how to survive.
Holy cow.
And it was a crazy book. I couldn't imagine how they were going to make it into a movie. And then yesterday, they put out the trailer for Whale Fall, and Josh Brolin is playing the father, and the new young guy is playing the son. But it's got Elizabeth Shue is in it as the mom. The book was really good, but everything was in the kid's head. So I'm not really sure how they're going to, you know, make that tell the story, unless it's a lot of flashback or something. But really, the trailer, I mean, it perfectly encompasses exactly what I was imagined it being.
How did Pinocchio and Geppetto get out of the whale? Did they start a fire, or was it pepper?
We've asked this question before, weirdly enough, a couple of years ago. I thought it was pepper.
Yeah, I think they made the whale sneeze.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how did Jonah get out of the whale? Or did he not? I haven't read the Bible in a couple months.
I can't remember.
We'll look into it. Hey, if you know, put it in the comments. Yeah. There you go. We'll read it next week.
I'm Sam Elliott. Atlanta Pizza and Euro is a family-owned restaurant located in Conyers, Georgia, serving the East Metro since 1983. They offer the best Greek and Italian specialties made daily, fresh to order. And they're open Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. and on Saturdays, noon to 9. They're closed on Sunday so people can go spend the day with their families. They also have a food truck, so if you're interested in booking for a corporate or private event, please contact Mike at 770-483-6228. Thanks for listening to Radio Labyrinth, and also for all your continued support.
Do you have commercial or residential construction printing needs? Sure, we all do. Well, what are you waiting for? Contact LDI Repro Printing of Athens. They've been in Athens, Georgia since 2005. With fast turnaround and affordable prices, call 706-316-9366 or email them at athens@ldiline.com.
Fuse.
Or.
And snooze.
Yeah, last week was Cape Fear, which I haven't watched yet, but I'm hearing good things about it. The Vampire Lestat, I watched the first one of that. I don't know if I'm going to keep watching that. It's kind of
boring.
Yeah, and Alice and Steve, that was funny, that movie with Jermaine Clement. This week, there's a movie coming on Hulu on the 17th called Never Change. This looks pretty funny. It's got Joe Firestone from Joe Parapet, you know, Joe Parapet. Talks to you.
Yeah.
And Topher Grace on a gas tire.
I haven't seen Topher Grace in anything in a while.
Yeah.
What was he? He played like, he played Jack from Twitter in something. No, you know what that was? That was a Black Mirror episode. What did I see Joe Parra in recently? He was in a trailer for a movie.
My Adventures with Superman, the cartoon, comes back on HBO Max on Adult Swim for season 3 on the 13th. The animation's really cool on that. Yeah, it's really good.
Is it true to Superman, or is it like that weird Batman show?
No, it's good. It's like true to the kind of like the older Superman cartoons.
Oh, cool. I'll check it out off season 1, of course. But
and then, of course, Alone comes back on the 17th on the History Channel. Can't wait.
Nice.
Arctic season to the Arctic Circle.
So nice. I like it
with this warm place shit.
Yeah, I like the snowy ones better than
Yeah, come on, frostbite.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jeff. Staff picks. I don't know. Lizzie doesn't have one. Her sister's house is her staff pick this week. Hi, Lizzie. My staff pick is you guys ever watch Rick Beato on YouTube?
Yeah, I see. Watch clips of his.
He had first he did Geddy Lee, then he did Alex Lifeson. Those were good interviews. But Annika Niles, she's the drummer on this Rush tour, and it's a short interview, but it was really good. She talks about her process, her smaller drum kit, of course, than Neil Peart had, but it was good, you know. And she talks about how she went to school. Her dad was a drummer, but he trained himself. She actually went and learned the fundamentals, but her parents didn't want her to get music. So that's mine. Check it out.
Mine's a Patton Oswalt special. It just came out on YouTube for free last night.
Is it funny?
Yeah, it's very funny.
What's he talk about?
All kinds of stuff. Religion, being a dad.
His journey with Natty Gann.
I haven't watched anything of his in a long time. I used to love him. I thought David Cross's recent special was funny.
Yeah, it's good.
I got the 4K came out of To Live and Die in L.A.
Oh.
And it looks really good. It looks better than I've ever seen it before. I mean, granted, most times I've ever seen it had been VHS.
Right.
Which looked, you know, horrible. But this, I mean, it's so crisp and so good. And Defoe looks so young. I mean, I know he was, but man, he was such a powerful actor when he was younger. I mean, he still is, but.
How about William Peterson in that movie?
Yes. Yeah, he was amped up.
That movie had a great soundtrack, too.
Yeah, and that chase, which the chase that was in it was only, I think, maybe French Connection was better, but not by much.
That's a Michael Mann movie, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I taped that
off. No, it's William Friedkin.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. Okay. Yeah, okay, so William Friedkin. Why did I think Michael Mann? William Friedkin directed that. Okay, that's why it's so good.
Michael Mann because of...
He did Manhunter.
Manhunter, which they just announced is getting a 4K release with its 40th anniversary, and it's coming back to the theater in August.
So you get to see Brian Cox as the first Hannibal Lecter.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool. Where do you get these 4Ks? And if I have an Amazon Fire TV that's a couple years old, will I notice it when I watch it?
If you're not watching it on an actual 4K screen, no, it wouldn't look any different than a DVD would. Because you can only get the it'll show the resolution that's the highest for the television.
Okay.
Where do I get them? Amazon has a lot of deals that they run every month. So does Apple. Some of them I'll get digitally when they're available, because it's kind of funny. Apple, when they get whenever a new movie comes out and it's going to be released on a 4K edition on physical media, it may be a month or and a half before they actually release the physical media, but they go ahead and release the digital immediately. So some of those I've gotten before they even came out physically. Like I got a copy of Kill Bill, The Whole Bloody Affair, 4K, but it's the steelbook for that, I think, doesn't come out for another month.
I still haven't watched that yet. That's quite a commitment of time.
It's 4 hours. Yeah. But it's good. It's kind of he kind of did what he did with the Hateful Eight, the Netflix edition, which that's the next one I hope that they make a release of, because it's a longer version of the, broken into four episodes.
Right.
So yeah, it delves more into dialogue and other stuff, other little extras that are in there too. But the Live and Die in LA is probably one of the best looking 4Ks that I've seen in a while.
Can you have someone else redo the Once Upon a Time in Hollywood audiobook?
Oh yeah, instead of her.
Fucking unlistenable. I made it through, but yeah, I thought it would be great, okay, to have a very annoying old lady voice do all the voice.
I liked the audiobook.
You did? I couldn't stand it. I love
it. It was different than the movie.
She just talked like this the whole time. I wanted somebody that can do the...
Give her a break. Her father was killed.
Yeah, 1980. He was also a racist. The time-traveling racist. No, he wasn't a racist. And, yeah, you're right. That's why she did Fast Times at Ridgemont High. I think I came. I gotta go, Stacy. What'd that guy do after that? Nothing. Hey, Radio Labyrinth listeners, viewers, whatever you call yourself, you can listen, you can watch. Listen up, support Radio Labyrinth. We haven't mentioned this in a while, but for the low, low cost of $5 a month, that's it. $5 a month. That gets you a sticker and a thank you note. $5 a month, and you get all this glorious entertainment that we provide to you. Thank you to everybody who watched last week's episode. I don't know the algorithm. I think the reason it got so many views is because you put my face on it. And that's the only...
It's the mustache.
Yeah, the mustache.
Yep.
Yes, it is. It is the mustache. You can also become an executive producer if you want. That's $25 a month, and you can order a t-shirt from our t-shirt shop. You also get the... draw something for you on a piece of paper, a little thank you doodle, and of course you get a sticker. And we haven't done this in a while, so thank you to Mike Adat Walker, John Not Joan Allen, Matt the Man Carter, Chris Chandler, who never played for the Falcons, Mike D, Jim Fortner, and let's see, who else do we have here? Roby Neely, Jeff Peterson, Tim Slayton, and Pat Turner. So thank you guys very, very much. But again, just go to patreon.com/Tim Andrews. $5 a month. We'd love to have you on board.
Help us keep the lights on.
Yes, help us keep the lights on. Remember to like, rate, and review us if you're listening to us on Spotify or iTunes. And, again, on YouTube, like, subscribe, turn on the alert, I guess. I guess that's important. But commenting really helps. So the more comments you get, the more YouTube will push it. Like, hey, people are watching. So just go there and write comment. And subscribe, even if you're a listener. But other than that, I got nothing else to talk about. So please remember to
keep it canon.
They say all good things come to an end.
What's that got to do with this show?
Lost in the rain.